Rudy was born and raised in Murray, Utah. He is the third child of eight. He had five sisters and twin brothers. His family has a background of construction and farming and raised a few cattle on the side. After high school, he spent some time in the Air Force, and then he returned and went to Weber State College on a rodeo scholarship. He met Leanne Simmons there, that would be me, and we were married a year later. We have four children. The oldest, Cody, and his wife, Kelly, live in Logan, Utah, and Casey and Diana and their son, Tanner, live here in Rexburg. Casey graduated from Rex College this spring semester. We have a daughter, Shaney, who is at the present teaching teaching English in Russia, and she also graduated this year from Rex College. And our youngest, Monty, we just delivered to the MTC last Wednesday, and he's on his way to London, England. Rudy was raised in an inactive family, but we found the gospel together after we were married. We lived most of our married life in the Logan, Utah area. We have been in Rexburg for the last 8 years. Rudy owned a construction company and worked in Logan there until the time that we came to Rex, and he now teaches in the construction management program at Rex College. He received his BS degree in industrial technology and a master's degree in technology education from Utah State University. And he has served in many callings in the church, including being a bishop here on campus. This last part, I need to say we, because we're partners in this. We love the gospel, we love our family, and we do a lot of fun things together and enjoy a lot of fun things with each other, but I think our favorite is riding and packing our mules and horses. Rudy?
Thank you, Leanne. It's great to have such a close friend and my dear wife with me. She is a sweetheart. Nancy, I appreciate that prayer. Maybe yours and mine combined will help this group and myself get through it. Some of you, it's your first time at Rex College. What a special place. I can't say enough about Rex College. I've been here 8 years. And I guess most of my fear is gone standing before students and in this position simply because I am so excited about Rex. I'm so excited to be part of it. I just love this place. And I think for each of you, you probably won't realize what a beacon of light Rex College is until you've been away from it just a little bit. You'll kind of get into the mode of Rex. The special things that take place, the special staff, the special faculty, the special students that you'll associate with, and you won't really realize it until you've been away for just a while. I happened to meet an alumni not long ago that graduated here. Well, he's older than I am, so he's really been around a while, and he was saying what an impact Rex College had on his life. He's a very successful businessman, very wealthy, has a great family, but he said his life was based on the things that he and his wife were a part of here at Rex College, and you'll find that throughout the world. And I would encourage you that are beginning to love Rex College, to catch the spirit of Rex College, and really drink up the delightful things that are here for you and that spirit and be involved. As I mentioned, I came to Rex College 8 years ago to teach building construction. I had a lot of experience in construction, but I didn't have a lot of experience in teaching. As I began to teach basic construction classes, such as framing structures and so on, I found that it was difficult for me to teach all of the methods I wanted to teach and all of the segments of construction. For example, I could teach the students a lot of different ways to build a set of stairs. Excuse me. But I couldn't teach them all of the ways to teach those to build those stairs. There were so many ways to build stairs, I just couldn't teach them all. And when I started teaching floor systems, I couldn't teach them all the different floors that they would encounter in construction, and same with roof systems. And so I began to search for some basic standards or underlying principles which applied to all sets of stairs and walls and roofs. The standard became four basics that I continue to teach in my classes. They are straight, level, plumb, square. Those of you that have been in my classes, you've seen me do that. Straight, level, plumb, square. Don't forget them. They're your basis. They're your foundation. They're your principles. Let me explain those four for you, please. Straight. That is a line, if you will, from one point to another, extended in a straight line. Okay, it's straight. Level is a horizontal plane without lumps or bumps, just a perfect level plane. That's what we call level. Plumb is a vertical plane, straight up and down. Square is two line segments that join at a 90 degrees. If we have four of those, we would call it a square object or a rectangle. But if each of those are 90 degrees, we have a square corner. Straight, level, plumb, and square. They're the basis for everything we do. Let me give you an example. If I'm framing a wall section, doesn't matter if it has windows or doors or whatever in it, I would have horizontal top plates and bottom plates. I'd have vertical framing members. And as I put all of those together, I would want the top to be straight. I would want it to be level. I would want it to be plumb on the ends. And I would want each of those corners to be square. Now, if I put windows in it, they would be under the same principle. If I put doors in it, and so on, with all of the portions and parts that we use in construction. And that begins with design and goes right on through engineering and the construction. Everyone bases what they're building on those principles. We have the opportunity in our lives to have some of those same basic values and principles established to help us govern ourselves properly in every situation. Those principles have been given to us by our Heavenly Father through modern revelation and taught in the gospel. Our Savior Jesus Christ showed us through example, or if you will, through demonstrations of how to build our lives on those correct principles. We do not need to be taught how to act in every situation or the choices that we need to make in every situation. Some of these principles are given in the Articles of Faith. Remember the 13th Article of Faith. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent. Honest, true, chaste, benevolent. Aren't they four wonderful principles? Just as straight, level, plumb, square. We can base our lives on those principles in every situation. Today I'd like to talk to you a moment about one of those, and that is honesty. I had the opportunity this last semester to do a sabbatical leave from Rick's. It had been 8 years since I'd been in the construction industry, and so I really wanted to get out and observe some of the new technological changes that have taken place in the past 8 years that I've been here teaching. I found that the most obvious changes that had taken place were not in the materials or methods or the computer automation. The thing that I noticed most as I was working on this construction project was that there had been a significant lowering of standards and integrity, particularly in honesty, in the business world. I was a little appalled by it and surprised. Some examples that I observed was that many of the people that I worked with, their word was not their bond. If they told you something, it didn't necessarily mean that's what they're going to do. One of the phrases that my supervisor continued to impress upon me as I worked with many of these individuals was that if it is not in writing, it has not been said. If it's not in writing, it has not been said. So everything that I was working with as a project manager on this particular project, if someone would tell me to change the swing of a door, the owner or representative of the owner or the architect or the engineer, I had to have it in writing. Yes, I would like to change the swing of that door because it swings out and it hits the stairway. Okay, fine, I'll write that down and sign this right here. We call them information requests. So if you tell me something, you sign right here that you told me what you said. And that bothered me that I couldn't take someone's word. But it became the case in many instances, and many times we had to go back to these information requests to prove to someone what they said, because we'd get into a financial disagreements or time or that, and it became critical. It was very discouraging to try to gain commitments from work crews. Like, when do you plan to have the work done? Well, they would tell me one thing, and it would go on and on. It was tough to have a commitment that I could hold to. I'll be there tomorrow. They may or may not be there. They never seemed to be too busy to make another promise. They were eager to tell me that, of things, but oftentimes it wouldn't happen. To write financial contracts, I found some very dishonest and would often overcharge me when it was possible. Sometimes I felt tempted to deal fairly, to not deal very fairly with these that were taking advantage of me, kind of exchange evil for evil. And I had to be careful that I didn't act and conduct myself the way I seen that happen. Also, we had many crews. We had about 90 people working under our direction. And many of those had a hard time putting in a full day's work for the amount of pay that we were giving them. They would contract to do that, but sometimes they became lazy, and we couldn't get that. I thought that was honesty that made that such. Some of you might ask, well, here I'm at Rick's College, and I'm studying for a career. I certainly don't want to go into construction. Sounds like it's a scary, dishonest place. Do you really think it's any different in the world in if we were in business or law or politics or sports? I don't think so. I think the level of integrity in the workplace and in the world, if you will, continues to decline. And I think that's probably why you need to be there. The wheat and the tares will continue to grow together. And as you study here at Rick's College, you need to prepare not only for the skills that you need to carry into the workforce, but that level of integrity and honesty that you need to take there. You need to be the light. There's no question. You've been sent to this earth in these latter days at this point in time to be the light. And I found as I worked with 90 of those men there that they began to look to me, and not in a boasting way, but they looked to me to believe what I had to say. If I was going to be there that day, if I was not, if we were going to perform this, we would perform it. And I would see to that. President Howard W. Hunter said, "A religion can be part of our daily work. Our business, our buying, our selling, building, transportation, manufacturing, our trade or profession, or of anything we do. We can serve God by honesty and by fair dealing in our business transactions in the same way we do our Sabbath worship. The true principles of Christianity cannot be separated and apart from business and our everyday affairs. We need to conduct ourselves at all times." May I suggest that while you're here at Rick's College that you practice your honesty. Total honesty. I know most of you are very honest because you had to be to qualify to come to Rick's College. You had a certain standard. There's not a real problem here on campus with serious theft, even though it does occur, or there's not very many times I begin my classes that the sheriff comes and says, "I'm sorry, but so-and-so is in the county jail for stealing this or that." You're basically honest. But what I found in my life And you might find in yours that sometimes we vary just a little bit. It's just the small things that sneak up and get me, that I should be more honest. And I think you'll find them in your lives. When we were out on a job site, one of the terms I learned from my supervisor was the term waffle. Not like the little quilted pancake that you eat in the morning. But waffle is defined. I didn't really know what they were talking about. I'd hear them that someone would come in and they'd have a job to do and they'd come in and say, well, I'm not sure we can get that done today. We really would like more money for this. It's a little more than we tried. I'd hear him say, oh, this guy is really waffling on us. I looked it up in a dictionary. Waffle is to speak or write evasively, to willingly and willfully mislead, or to speak with the intent to deceive. So it's a little white lies, maybe. Speaking with an intent to deceive. How is your waffling? You have a problem with that? I notice it sometimes in class. Brother Pusey, I would have had my assignment done, but I had to take my roommate to the hospital emergency room. He had his appendix out. Well, that's interesting. I just seen him over there eating sausage and eggs over in the... Brother Pusey, I'm sorry I didn't quite get this done. I'm sorry I'm late. You bet. I'll have it here done for you on Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Where's your paper? Well, I didn't quite get it done. Sometimes we say little things and we have no intention of really following through. Or we think at that time we will, but we don't put enough effort in it to make it true. Is our word really our bond? Sometimes we don't intend to make promises, but maybe we do in our speech, and we're being depended on. What happens when ASRC or your student associations or some of the people or your roommates say, can you be there at this point in time? Can you be there to work on Christmas Tree Lane as part of a service project? You bet. I'll be there Thursday. How many of you will be there? Whole crowd. Everybody's there. When Christmas Tree Lane starts making materials and preparing and cleaning up and fixing up, how many is there? Not so many. What is it? What happens when I'm in the elders' quorum and you say, how many will be to this service project? Or how many is going to do your home teaching this month? Everybody's going to do your home teaching. Everybody's going to do their visiting teaching, right? It was interesting. We were driving back from Logan, Utah last week. Happened to be the last day of the month. I noticed in Downey, Idaho, you know, these men, you know, a big guy and a little guy knocking on doors that night, you know, about dark. My wife said, looks like home teaching. Sometimes we waffle a little bit on those assignments. Even in the church, we need to be very careful. How many of us are going to go to the temple each month? Yeah, we make a commitment. We're going to go to the temple every month. And sometimes we don't quite make it. Be careful. If you were going to go fishing, I like to go fishing. When I go fishing and I go down on a Teton River and it says, limit 4 trout. Do you think I ever catch 5 and take them home? No. Now, sometimes I catch and release, and that's fine, but my bag limit is 4. I always take 4 if I catch that many, if it's a good day. But you don't normally take more. If you went to the newspaper machine, and you put in your 50 cents, and you open it up, and there's 20 papers there. It says, please take 1. Do you ever take 2? Do you ever take 5? No, we don't do that, do we? Some might, but we don't. Do you ever think about it? I do all the time. I open that up and say, gosh, you just leave the whole stack right there for me. But you never take it. The Holy Ghost is whispering to you. You only take 1. And we do that. Is it a little bit different when we go out on the highway? I'm always a little bit amused. Speed limit, 55. How many of you go 63? Because your friends told you that 8 miles over, you will not be arrested. If you go 10, you're toast. 8 is just fine. So we push it to the limit. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? And I'm guilty too. I have a good friend, a very close friend that's an example to me. He's here today, Melvin Griffith. He's a biology teacher. How many of you have had Brother Griffith? Yeah, about half of you. The other half will probably have him if you want a good class. But Brother Griffith is an example to me because he is totally honest. I see it in his business dealings. I see it when he pays his bills. I see it in his production of his livestock and those things. But what's interesting about Brother Griffith, when you go for a ride with Brother Griffith, he sticks it right on 55. Whew. I always think we'll ever get here? You know, and the cars are going by, whew, whew. And I'm thinking like I normally do, well, gosh, you're going to be rear-ended, you know? Everybody else goes 55 or 65. Why don't we? Because I see in his life, he is totally honest. He's totally honest, and he does that. And I really respect that and admire it because I have a difficult time with it. But sometimes as Latter-day Saints, don't you think we need to be that kind of light? I usually am right on the speed limit when I'm driving a Rick's College van. I've noticed that. And when people are going by and they're looking at the door, it says Rick's College. They write the number down off the side. What about your social life? What is it like? Are we waffling a little bit out there? How many of you have been invited out on a date, young ladies? Can you go out this Friday? Oh, gosh, I'd love to. I would really love to. But I think that's the night me and my roommates get together and we go shopping. Yeah. Are we buying waffles? That's a tough one, isn't it? Are you going to be home tonight? I'd like to come and visit you. I think I'm going to be there tonight. And you think, no way. I'm going to be gone. Should we be totally honest in all that we do? How do we deal with that? Well, yeah, you look like a really cool guy, but your roommate is a hunk. I'm really more in. Do you think you'd line me up with him? Now, you're going to have to deal with that. But really, you may want to think of what your speech is doing to you. Are you setting some habits that are not right, that are not good, that are going to carry on once you get out in the workforce? Honest, true, chaste, benevolent. Are we really living those? Are we really staying right on line in all that we say and do? I hope so. And I think we need to be careful with each of those situations. Remember, Alma was talking about the Lamanites and once they were converted, what they were like. In Alma 27:27, said, and they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God, for they were perfectly honest and upright in all things. I had a young lady come to my class one day last semester, and she came in about a half hour late. And I could tell she looked kind of sleepy, and she raced in, and she'd missed some things. And after class, she came up and said, I'm sorry I was late. And I'm sorry, but I kind of tuned in to, okay, what excuse is this going to be? And she said, I stayed up too late last night. My alarm clock went off, and I just slapped it. And I turned it off, and I slept in, Brother Pusey, and I am so sorry. I'll try not to do that again. I could have hugged her. I thought it was great. It was totally honest. It was what happened. and I had a greater respect for her. And I think that's what we need to look for and try to do, particularly here at Rick's. This is Zion's place. This is a Zion's people, and you're it. You've been set apart for that. And you need to be totally honest and totally upright. I'd like to tell you of a story that showed up in the church news. It's been a while ago. The author that wrote this little story is Maren Moritzen, I hope I say that right, from BYU. But she was talking about traveling across campus, going to a class, and there were some students following her. She recognized their voice as one that she had in class, but she just kind of moved along on her way. But she heard them talking, and one of the young men said that he had been in a car accident and mashed his car up a little bit, and he took it to the insurance, and the insurance said, go get a couple of appraisals for that. He did that, and he was telling this other person that they had appraised it at $1,200, but he thought he could get it fixed for $800, and he planned to do that, and that would give him $400 profit. And he was asking his friend whether he should pay tithing on the additional $400. Two great young men, and they walked along, and he concluded, this young man, that he really should pay tithing on it. It was a definite gain. And she took the opportunity to stop and visit with him a little bit and indicate that he had just missed the real issue. And you understand what the issue is. Was it really totally honest? Now, if you're like me, we can justify. I can justify in my mind why he might do that, because every month I write a check out for X amount of dollars for my insurance and I don't use it. I go month after month after month. And sometimes we think, well, they owe it to us. And we justify. Let me just read a quote from this article that she said. There are lots of ways to be dishonest, but there is only one way to be honest, and that is with a full frontal attack, head on, right here, right now. Even though the promise is that we can know good from bad, the choices are not always easy. The real tests come in how well we respond to often marginal circumstances. The choices we make when things are not so clear cut often determine whether or not we have personal integrity and can be honest. I like that. In closing, I'd like you to know the church is true. There's not a question in my mind. I grew up outside the church. I found the gospel in my life. I cling to it. I love it. I try to base my conduct on that and have a long ways to go still. But we have some great examples. We have our Savior who has given us demonstrations, if you will, on how to conduct ourselves. We have prophets, we have the scriptures, we have many sources in the gospel that give us these principles that we can cling to in every situation, and we need to make the right choices. You are a chosen vessel of the Lord. There's no question. That's why I get so excited, I think, about being here at Rick's College, is because I get to associate with you. Because you're special. There's no other place like it. There's no other youth like you out there in such a large number. You're set apart, and you need to be the light. When you enter the workforce, when you enter the world, when you are set aside and conducting business out in the world, you need to conduct yourself like you know you should, and be that example, and be that light. The Lord expects it. There's no question that we have to be that light and that chosen one. If you're an accountant in an office of 200 other accountants, you need to be the most honest, the most upright. If you're home raising your children and holding them in your arms and reading to them and a mother, you need to enforce in those children, what exactly do you believe in? How honest will you be? 1 Timothy 4 and 12 says, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I'd encourage you to go make a difference in the world. Begin now to set habits that will last you your lifetime. I'm thankful for my testimony and the opportunity to be here, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.